But the chief of the butchers was not quite finished yet. With a curse, he pushed Ryan into Hennings and Finnegan, then produced a battered 9mm Makarov PM pistol from inside his coat and leveled it at Semyonian. Time held still, like a bubble of air in a frozen lake. The officer's face whitened, his hands rising in a futile gesture of protection. Uchichil's almond-shaped golden eyes opened wide in disbelief, and he looked over his shoulder at the flame-haired Christy Roth and at the small, gleaming H&K pistol smoking in her right hand. Blood appeared on his chest as he dropped his own gun in the dirt, sank to his knees, and then toppled, his silver headband with its great ruby clinking against the stones.
Earth Mother, forgive me.
She will, lover. She will.
The Americans did nothing to stop the soldiers from mutilating the corpses of the woman and Uchichil, though Hennings pushed them aside to retrieve the fallen piece of jewelry. He handed the ruby to Christy.
Take it, girl. Better you than them. You fucking earned it.
The two corpses bobbed downriver, ending the short and bloody history of the Narodniki. Semyonian had been diligently studying his phrasebook again. Ryan had also thumbed through the brown paperback that had belonged to Uchichil. The Russian spoke first.
I thank you for your assistance. Now we take all your country for party.
What? No fucking way, friend.
Ryan's gesture and tone needed no translation. The officer indicated his overwhelmingly superior forces with a wave of his hand.
Your country is not strong. We take. You not veto us.
It was the moment that Ryan Cotter had suspected was coming from the time the Russians first appeared over the ridge. They must have ridden across many miles of Alaska and seen no opposition. Now, only three men and a girl seemed to stand between them and all of America.
Let him go! We can make it to the redoubt and get the fuck out of here!
Finn's argument was uncontestable. To fight here was to die. If they stood aside, it was better than 50-50 that the Russians wouldn't provoke a firefight, and the gateway would carry them far from here. This bitter northern land with its freezing residue of the nuclear winter wasn't their concern. There surely wasn't any profit in trying to defend it. Ryan hesitated only a moment before giving the Major his answer.
No.
Zimyanyan, along with Christy, Hen, and Finn, stared at him in disbelief.
Yet? No. This is our land. You get back to Russia and your party. Go.
You fight for land?
Damn right we'll fight for it.
He drew the G-12 again, emphasizing his point. The Russian thumbed through his book frantically. Eventually, he seemed to find what he wanted.
You will die all. Why?
Why was he doing this, exactly? Ryan wondered to himself. Ryan glanced at his new friend and lover, Christy Roth. She returned his gaze with a nod and a smile.
A friend of mine back in the Deathlands once took off all his gear and jumped in a tar pit. I eventually got him out, cleaned him down, and asked him the same question. Asked him why. He said, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Semyonian looked at Ryan, finding him utterly beyond comprehension.
Get ready, people. Here it comes.
There was a sudden burst of automatic weapons fire, faint and distant, high up the valley, toward the ghost town. Everyone looked around, seeing three figures grouped around something. A pointed object, about as tall as a man.
It's the fucking dummy missile.
Keep your voice down, you stoop.
Zimyanyan took his precious Zeiss binoculars from their leather case and raised them to his eyes, adjusting the focus. He held them there for a long time, finally lowering them. Silently, ignoring the whispers from his troops, he swung off his horse and stood holding the reins. The book open in his gloved right hand, the Russian beckoned to Ryan, then gestured at the missile. But he couldn't find what he wanted to ask. Shaking his head, clicking his fingers in irritation, finally sighing, he pointed again toward JB and the rocket.
Boom? Yeah, boom. Fucking great boom.
The Russian searched assiduously again for the phrase he wanted. Eventually, he found it.
To your good health, American. And to your land.
He offered a hand, and Ryan reached out and took it, shaking it firmly. He looked into the eyes of the Russian.
And to your good health, brother. And to your country and party.
Zimyanyan clicked his heels and bowed slightly. Remounting, he called out an order to his patrol, and then led them slowly across the valley toward the west. Toward the icebound Bering Strait. Toward Russia. About a half mile away, he stood in the stirrups and raised a clenched fist to the watching Americans. Ryan waved an acknowledgement. Finally, the last of the cavalry unit vanished over the ridge, and the day was quiet again. Christie finally holstered her pistol and walked over to Ryan, her face just inches from his own.
So were you just bluffing because you knew JB had that other missile, or were you really ready to fight him for this land?
Ryan just smiled at her. However, it was a good-natured expression, not meant to be mocking. And in that gesture, Christie had her answer. She kissed him then.
I love you, Ryan Cotter.
The code for the outer door of the redoubt, 108J, worked, and they trooped inside, leaving the two buggies out on the plateau for the local muties to find. Inside the cavernous building, the temperature had fallen since the time they left only a couple of days earlier. Many of the lights were either flickering or extinguished. They spent an hour stocking up on food and ammunition, then, using JB's map, made their way to the gateway on the fourth level.
Gonna track code, Doc?
I fear there would be little point. I think we must trust to the random element and hope we finish somewhere better than this wasteland.
Somewhere warmer, Doc, if you don't mind.
Ryan was the last into the chamber, with its now familiar floor and ceiling patterns and its strange glass-like walls. Everyone sat down, with Christie pulling at Lori's arm to show her what to do. The girl had shown signs of great nervousness as they moved through the redoubt where she'd spent all her life, but her trust in the others carried her along. Now she sat with them on the floor.
It's like a quick sleep and then a bad headache. Then we wake up somewhere else.
Somewhere good?
Who knows? Everyone ready? Then here we go.
He closed the door firmly. The lights began to gleam and dance. He had just enough time to sit down before he felt the jump beginning. The inside of his brain felt as if it had been chopped into a million splinters.